Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino down there in Studio X. He will allow us to have a very calm, very relaxing drive for the next hour. And of course, if you want to get in touch with the show, you can do so on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. Maybe not today. You kind of get what I'm saying there. That's fine. We are brought to you by our good folks over at Visit Vicksburg. VisitVicksburg.com, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau, my hometown of Vicksburg, Mississippi. We'll be telling you about some of the great things going on there throughout the show. Two games left for Mississippi State football this season. The last home game of the year, Senior Day. You know, this is the nature of the portal and the new world of college football. You say it's Senior Day. Who the heck are the seniors? I have DeMonte Russell. He'll be recognized. I mean, I don't know. I guess Devon Booth is technically a senior. Played 10 games here at Mississippi State. I mean, it's just so weird. Senior Day is not what it used to be by any stretch of the imagination. Mississippi State taking on Missouri this week in a game that, you know, I'll be honest with you. On the surface, when you take everything into consideration, you can make a compelling argument that State has a chance to win. That State can win this football game. You've got a Missouri team coming in that is down and out in terms of, you know, they thought they were going to be in the college football playoff. That was their goal coming into the season. And they weren't able to do it. So, to that level, and then that, you know, they're mentally they may not be where we think they're going to be. And you got a Mississippi State team playing its last home game of the year. It feels like for Mississippi State that they've gotten close a few times, right? They were close. Say what you want. They were in the game with Georgia. They had an opportunity there. They obviously had an opportunity with Texas A&M. Tennessee, they cut the lead to 9 in the third quarter. You felt like, if they could just get a stop. And that's been the story of this season, right? It's like, if they could just get a stop, they can't get a stop. So, you know, if you go back to August and June and July, and I was talking about how this team was going to look, I was like, when they win games, they're going to have to win shootouts. They're going to win games 38-35, you know, 41-35, something like that. Why can't that be today? That would be my question for Mississippi State. All year long, we've been waiting on them to win one of these shootouts. Why can't that be today? It could be today. It's going to take two things. It's going to take a repeat performance from Mississippi State's running game from 2 weeks ago against Tennessee. Almost 200 yards rushing. Devon Booth finally showed off some of that explosiveness we've been talking about all offseason. Johnny Daniels looked good running the football. Van Buren gave you a little bit on the running game. I know he took a bunch of sacks, but when he ran the ball, he was effective. You got to have that kind of day again, and then you're going to have to combine that with the kind of passing game that Van Buren wasn't able to give you against Tennessee, but he did against Georgia and against Texas A&M and against Arkansas and against UMass. You get me that kind of passing game and that kind of running game, and I can win this football game with Mississippi State today. I can get there. But they got to do both. They got to be able to do that. They got to be able to find their way forward offensively. Because I'm not playing the whole, the defense is getting better and they did. No, absolutely not. All right. People are going to try, you know, again, they did play better against Tennessee. They did play better. But that playing better still gave up 33 points and 450 yards. All right. So that's playing better than, okay, I got to have 35 to 38 points to win this game. So y'all can miss me with the they're getting better defensively. They have not at any point this season been getting better. They have been bad since day one. All right, and we're just going to go through two more games of this, and then we'll make some big decisions. But don't hit me with the, well, you know, defensively they could. They can't. They cannot. If they do, it's a surprise. If they do, it's something that literally no one is predicting. Literally no one's going to sit there with a straight face and tell you that Mississippi State defensively is going to be better in this game and hold Missouri to 21, 24 points. No. So for State to win on Saturday, they've got to be in the high 30s and or into the 40s. But if they can do that. You know, South Carolina got into the 30s on Missouri. Texas A&M was able to do it. Alabama was able to do it. Now, look, I know those are better teams than Mississippi State, but Missouri's defense, you know, is not that great. They have struggled at times this year. They're a good defense. Don't get me wrong. They're obviously much, much better than Mississippi State is. But they're not an unstoppable force. They're not going to just, you know, push you off the field. So State can get some things going offensively. Van Buren, I've been thinking a lot about him the past few weeks about, you know, what is his future at Mississippi State? And, you know, I would say 75% says he'll be the starting quarterback for next year and the season after that. And then, you know, we'll see what happens in his junior year. Has he done enough to go pro at that point or does he come back? I don't know the answer. But 2025, 2026, you tell me Michael Van Buren's a starting quarterback for Mississippi State? Totally believable. Absolutely 100% believable. By that same token, he could lose his starting job in the spring to Blake Shapen. If Shapen comes back, if he's healthy, Shapen gives you everything that Van Buren does, but he has more experience. I think he has a bigger arm, to be honest with you. I think he can throw the ball further down the field, which in this offense is key. The only issue with Shapen has a fatal flaw. He cannot stay healthy. He just cannot do it. You cannot get a full season out of Blake Shapen at this point. You can't sell yourself on the idea that you're going to commit to Blake Shapen in that way. But I really like what I've seen from Van Buren. And I'll be honest with you, for a true freshman to play the way he has this year is very impressive. And it makes me think that he's the guy going forward. I think he's got the right mental makeup for this job. I think he's got the right mental makeup to be an SEC quarterback. And I think he's got the talent. On top of that, now State's got to do a good job of building around him. It'd be helpful to keep Kevin Coleman from going into the NFL draft. I'm sure State will make an NIL pitch to do that. Keeping Mario Craver, State will make an NIL pitch to do that. I don't have any concerns there before anybody starts crying and whining about how, oh, we're going to keep players. Then stop doing that. Just stop doing it. It's annoying. It's annoying that Mississippi State fans, every time a player gains a yard, oh, well, he's going to hit the portal. He didn't want to stay here. Maybe Mississippi State's not that bad, you know. Maybe it's a decent place, you know. You went to school there. Why can't other people like it the same way? I don't know. Got to improve that offensive line. Got to go out in the portal, get you a couple of solid offensive linemen. And I'm sort of torn on that because State went out in the portal and got guys that other teams wanted last year. Other teams wanted Pounders. Other teams wanted Jacoby Jackson. Other teams wanted Marlon Martinez. Other teams wanted Ethan Meyer. They just haven't figured it out for whatever reason. Although they played better as far as the running game goes, they played better the last couple of weeks. Passing game, I mean, they gave up a bunch of sacks, but Tennessee's a team that gets a lot of sacks. But if you build around Van Buren, you can be successful, and he can be a quarterback who wins games at Mississippi State. I don't have any doubt in my mind about that. I don't have any doubt that Michael Van, if you tell me, you know, next year that State's in a bowl game and Van Buren led them there, I can buy that. Assuming other things have been done. And I think we all know what we're talking about. We don't have to say it out loud at this point. We're all good. We're all going to be okay on that. I guess we'll talk about it just a little bit here. Because it's become like this thing now of Mississippi State and Coleman Hutzler and what's going to happen there. There's a lot of smoke right now. There is. That Coleman Hutzler will return in 2025. I will tell you now that if that happens, if you're a guy who likes happy hey dad, you're not going to like that decision, because that's not going to be one that I'm going to look back and say, oh, yeah, they're going to really start winning now. You know, the only thing that would change my mind is if Hutzler stays and then somehow they start landing difference makers in the portal. Okay, then I'll buy in. No question. But that's going to be a really tough sell for me. I think Jeff Lebby's smart enough to know that you got to move forward without him. If he doesn't, then that really makes me question whether or not he's the guy, whether Jeff Lebby's the guy. He's got to see that things have got to change there. And if they don't, it's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult for me to look you in the eye and say, oh, I think State's going to be a lot better next year. Because I don't if he comes back, if he's still calling this defense. So we'll find out what happens very, very soon. We'll find out 10 days from today, November the 30th, we're going to know some things about Mississippi State in the future here in Starkville. All right, when we come back, let's switch gears. Let's get to basketball. I was in South Haven on Sunday. I liked what I saw from this team. I want to talk basketball for the next few minutes. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. Always appreciate you guys tuning in. Want to thank our friends over at Visit Vicksburg this weekend, this Saturday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Southern Cultural Heritage Foundation 30th anniversary event. Gosh, it's hard to believe it's been 30 years since that stopped being the elementary school where I went to, St. Francis Xavier there in Vicksburg, and became the Southern Cultural Heritage Center. If you want to go, though, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., 1302 Adams Street, oral histories of the facility, and, of course, a tribute to the Sisters of Mercy. For more information, call 601-631-2997. I know all about the Sisters of Mercy. Sister Cabrini, Sister Labore, Sister Marcia, Sister Fatima, Sister Paulinus, Sister Jackie, Sister Lucia was a good friend of my mom's, lovely woman. And, of course, a lot of those women were my teachers. When I was at St. Francis Xavier. So if any problems you've got with me, you take it up with the nuns. They were the reason. They're the reason. Great women and really good people. And a big part of my life going to Catholic school there with the Sisters of Mercy. So glad to see them getting a tribute there at the Southern Cultural Heritage Foundation. I was in South Haven this past Sunday for Mississippi State versus Utah. Tale of two halves. No question about it. State not good in the first half, either side of the court. State much better in the second half. I mean, the team that we look like two different teams, first half and second half for Mississippi State. I thought that, I didn't freak out at the end of the first half because I knew that Josh Hubbard was not going to finish the game 1-for-7. I knew that he was going to start making some shots. And I know that when Hubbard starts making shots, everything else starts working for Mississippi State. Cam Matthews, big free throws down the stretch. Yes, you heard me correctly. Cam Matthews, big free throws down the stretch. Got to lock that game up for Mississippi State. Keyshawn Murphy, what a monster game for him. 18 points, 13 rebounds. State with 25 rebounds from the center position. That will play. If I'm going to get 25 rebounds a night from Nwoko and Murphy at the five, I got no issues. It's been funny that we've talked so much about State and the way they rebound this year and how it's been a little bit of an issue for them. They have not been out-rebounded yet. Not that they've played super competition, but they have not been out-rebounded yet. So we'll see what that means when we get into SEC play. I expect them to get out-rebounded in some games there, but so far, so good for Mississippi State. That game was played on November the 17th, but guys, I mentioned this to Jans, and I mentioned this to Cam Matthews and Hubbard in the post game. I said it felt like March 17th. Felt like this game could have been played right in March, and they all agreed. Matthew said it really felt like a late SEC game that we had to have. That's the kind of the intensity, and it was so back and forth in the second half. State down 11 at the break, comes out of the locker room storming, ties the game up, takes the lead, and then it's just kind of back and forth. State finally pushes the lead out to 8, and then they ice it from the free throw line from there. But I thought, you know, watching Utah, and I know Utah, I think, was predicted last in the Big 12. If that's the case, the Big 12 is going to be the best basketball league in the country by far this season, because that team, I mean, they looked good enough. Long, athletic. They made some good shots. They had guys who could get to the rim. I was very impressed with Utah in this game. I think that ends up being a quad two, quad one kind of win for Mississippi State. But the intensity of the matchup was very, and maybe being on a neutral site kind of plays into that. You know, it just feels like you're at the NCAA tournament. It's not a huge crowd, and but it was big. I mean, it was vociferous, as they say. Yeah, and Jan's made a point. He's like, you know, the first half they didn't give anybody anything to cheer about. Second half, when you come out, you know, on a 22-5 run, yeah, well, people will get behind that, and so that's how, you know, State's able to take control of that game. Hubbard, we're going to talk a little bit more about Hubbard and down the road a little bit here, but I just continue to be impressed with him. This stat was brought up on the post-game show. I mentioned it to Jans in the press conference, and he was just like, I wish they hadn't said anything. He doesn't want to jinx him. But Josh Hubbard, through four games, has no turnovers. That's your one of your primary ball handlers. That's a guy who's got the ball in his hands more than just about anyone, and he hasn't given it away yet. That's impressive. State only had seven turnovers in this game. So, I mean, you'll take that. You'll take that night in and night out. State has done a pretty good job this year of valuing the basketball. And that you couldn't say that a season ago. They were a little turnover prone at times. But they've got so many guys who can run the point. Clary can do it. Obviously Hubbard can do it, but Cam Matthews can do it. Kugel can do it. I think that Claudell Harris could do it, but he is just such an assassin, man. As soon as the ball is in his hands, it's like it's a hot potato. He's got to put it in the basket. But that being said, he hasn't had as good a game that he had in the first game. He's still getting minutes. I don't think it's a Trey Fort situation, you know, where Fort was great that first game, and then 2 weeks later, you're like, where did that guy go? Harris is still very much part. He started the game on Saturday, but he just hasn't had the same success. But I like the fact that he has no conscience about it. He's still up there trying to shoot the basketball. Nwoko, you can see the physical gifts, right? He's just got to figure it out a little bit more offensively. He only had 2 points, but he had 13 rebounds. I mean, or I'm sorry, 12 rebounds. You're going to take that. You're going to take that from him. I mean, I don't need Keyshawn Murphy to be 18 and 13 every night. Can he be 12 and 7 every night? Can he be 13 and 7? Because if I can get that, and then I can get another 5-6 rebounds a night, maybe 7 rebounds a night out of Nwoko with 5-6 points. So now from the center position, I'm getting anywhere from 18 and 19 points, and I'm getting anywhere from 13, you know, 15 to 16, 17 rebounds. Guys, I will take that from that position. You know, I think State's best lineup is I'm torn here. I'm torn between Clary, Hubbard, Kugel, Matthews, Murphy, which is a smaller lineup, but Kugel is a guard who can get rebounds, so you're not losing too much there. But Matthews is a small four, and Murphy's a small five. Or do you go Clary, Hubbard, Matthews, Murphy, Nwoko? Now you got a bigger, more physical lineup out there, but you lose some of the explosiveness. I think Kugel is going to start figuring it out at some point, and then he's going to be impossible to take off the court. The talent is just obvious when you watch him play. He knows what he's doing. That's a basketball player. We'll put it that way. That's a guy who knows how to play the game of basketball. He's not an athlete playing basketball. He is a basketball player. But it just hasn't, you know, it's only been four games, and he's had a couple of good games. He was really good in the first half of this one, was able to sort of keep State in it at times. But he hasn't gotten that consistency yet. I think that's coming. I think that'll show up for him. It just hasn't done so yet. I really like what I'm seeing from this team thus far. You know, and now you look at the schedule, they're in a stretch of five straight games against, you know, we'll call them power five teams, right? I know UNLV is not a power team technically, but, and I know Butler's not either, but when we're talking about college basketball, UNLV and Butler are good enough. Utah, UNLV, you play the winner of Butler Northwestern, that's in the Tucson Classic, or the Arizona Classic, it's not in Tucson, it's in Tempe. All left out SMU. SMU, and then those two games, UNLV, Butler Northwestern winner, and then Pitt in the SEC-ACC Challenge here in Starkville. if they're undefeated at the end of that, I'm going to feel really good about this basketball team. Their net will be really high because those should all be quad one, quad two games by season's end. You got a true road game this week against an SMU team that's averaging 91 a game. I know their level of competition has not been great, but 91 a game is tough. I mean, right now, you go into that game knowing you probably got to score 85. So we'll see if that happens. You know, they're SMU's 4-1 on the year. Their one loss is to Butler, so there's some commonality there. UNLV, Northwestern was a team State played a season ago. That ended up being a quad one win for them. And then Pitt has been an NCAA tournament team. Obviously, they knocked MSU out of the tournament just a season ago. So for Mississippi State, these next five games are really going to kind of tell a tale of what the non-conference portion of the schedule is going to be. If they're still undefeated when they finish the game with Pitt, you can probably go ahead and start. You know, they'll be in the NCAA tournament. It's just how much better can they be? I said a year ago I thought this team was going to compete for the SEC championship. I was off on that. And there's no question about it, but I don't think this team is I don't think they're going to be there with Alabama and Auburn at the end here. I think they're going to be good. Can they be sixth in the conference? Can they be fifth or sixth? I think they can. We'll see. I don't want to make too bold a prediction. I bit me right in the you know where a season ago with this team. So we'll continue to. They're fun to watch, though. I enjoyed myself in South Haven. I thought it was a good crowd. Love those neutral site venues. Love the Landers Center, too. Great facility. I've been there a couple times for wrestling. Now I got to go for basketball. My friend Abby Hunt is one of the people running that facility. That's in the blood for her. Her family's been running facilities for a long time. I don't know how you get into that particular I don't know how that becomes the family business, but it is for them, so. Really good stuff. Enjoy the Landers Center up there in South. I'm looking forward to the games in Tupelo and Jackson later this year. All right, I want to talk about Hubbard when we come back. Josh Hubbard, somehow better, more consistent, stronger, getting into the rim. He's doing a lot of good stuff. Let's talk about that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
You believe this guy?
Who is this guy?
It's Gerard Gibbert. Weekdays, 10 till 1 on Super Talk Mississippi.
I like this guy.
Also on the Super Talk app and at supertalk.fm.
At the Citizen.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
We are back here on Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. Appreciate you guys tuning in here on a Wednesday evening. I'm Brian Haydad, Rhino down there in Studio X, making sure we still got around halfway done. We got a little further down the road to go. We're going to get there. Want to thank our sponsors over at Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Wanting to let you know, this Saturday from noon to 10 p.m. at the BB Club, 721 Clay Street, it's the FTK Fest. What is that? For the kids. The holiday season is here, so if you can help out, they'll appreciate that. Live music, there'll be a toy drive, and they'll be taking donations for the kids. All proceeds from this event are going to go to Haven House and Beautiful Deliverance. If you need more information, call 601-636-0008. If you haven't already, you know, this holiday season, give the gift of the subscription to Thunder and Lightning. That's right. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. We've always got great stuff going on. Next week is Egg Bowl week. You know that we're going to have a tremendous amount of content there on the podcast. Plenty to talk about with you as we enjoy Thanksgiving and the final regular season game, final game of the season for Mississippi State football next week. But I want to stay on basketball here because, well, for two reasons. One, I get the feeling that's what you guys would rather stay on too. But more importantly, it's important to talk about Josh Hubbard. And what's going on with him this season here at Mississippi State. You know, when you have an elite freshman, you always look at him and go, okay, well, you know, is this as good as he going to be, or is he going to continue to improve and get better? And I think with Hubbard, my thought process was he would continue to get better because he is a – you know, the term ball is life, that is Josh Hubbard. He is a guy that is basketball, basketball, basketball. lives in the gym. So I had no concerns about work ethic with him. I had no concerns of him riding on his you know, his own laurels or anything like that. But he looks like a totally different player than he did a season ago in some aspects. Now, the shooting touch is still there. He's still an outstanding shooter. He's still a guy who can just stop and pop and get you three balls. But he has become a much more aggressive player in terms of getting to the bucket. He has become a guy who can, who's willing to go into the paint and take some contact and get his shot up there to get a better percentage look. Here's a stat, and I forgot if I just mentioned it. Forgive me if I did, but through four games, he doesn't have a turnover. Now, this is State's, you know, in most cases, sometimes their primary ball handler. He runs the point. He certainly has the ball in his hands more than anyone else. And yet, through four games against four different teams, he has not turned the ball over one time. It's almost mind-boggling to consider that. I mean, just to get stripped on the way up on a shot or anything like that, that has not happened to him as of yet. And so, you know, that's going back to what I said just a few minutes ago, that I was never too nervous about State in the first half against Utah because I knew that Hubbert would turn things around. When Hubbert turns things around, the team kind of goes with him. I make the comments all the time about Rhino driving the bus here. Josh Hubbert drives that bus for Mississippi State. And as he goes, the team is going to go. And so I knew that, because I've seen him play so much, I knew that in the second half he was going to be better, and with that, State would be better. When Hubbert is on, it frees up everything for Mississippi State. If I was going to make a football analogy, it would be kind of like having a Randy Moss. And, Moss was an elite Hall of Fame player. I'm not saying Hubbard's to that level yet, but when you have a Randy Moss, it's like, okay, we got to start here. And it's not even so much that you can stop him, it's you can, how much can you limit him? And that's how, where Hubbert is right now. I don't think you're going to look up and see a game where Hubbert has 7 or 8 points at the end. You know, he's going to get into double digits. It's, can you keep him to like 14 or 15? If you can do that, you have a chance to win. If he's above 18, 19 points, you know, chances are he drug a couple of guys forward with him to have 13, 14 points of their own. And now you really got to push it to beat Mississippi State. When he is making shots, it opens up things down low for Keyshawn Murphy and Cam Matthews. When he is making shots, it takes pressure off of Claudel Harris and R.J. Melendez and Riley Kugel, who can also hit from the perimeter. When he is hitting shots, it allows Kanye Clary to be able to drive the basketball and either get to the rim or dish for some easy buckets. What he does offensively dictates what everything else Mississippi State does. And because State has a lot of options offensively at this time, that's what makes State very tough to beat. And so until a team can find a way to truly limit Josh Hubbert, you're going to see State continue to pile up wins. That's why this game against SMU is so interesting to me. They have a great guard in Boopy Roberts. This is a guy who, if you don't know much about him, Boopy Miller, I'm sorry. If you don't know much about him, you should get to know him. He's an outstanding player. He's their leading scorer. He's averaging 18 a game, 4 rebounds a game, 6 assists a game. I mean, really good player. 47% from the field as a guard, outstanding. 41% from behind the arc, 77% from the free throw line. Just a really, really good player. In their games this year, they've played 5 games. He's had 21, 20, 21, 17, and he had 13 against Prairie View in a game where he only played 19 minutes. They won 110-69. They got him out of the game pretty early in that one. He's a really good basketball player. 6 foot, 175. So, you know, from a physical standpoint, Hubbert can match up with him. This isn't a situation where, you know, he's facing a guy who would be 6'4", 6'5", you know, like he had to face this past weekend against Utah. Their guards were bigger than him, but he was still able to find his way. So this is a matchup of two of the top scoring guards in the country between Miller and Hubbert. So that's an exciting matchup. This is an exciting game. SMU is an interesting team. You know, Andy Enfield's their coach. That name is familiar to you if you remember Florida Gulf Coast, the Dunk City run to the Elite Eight, I believe, a few years back in the NCAA tournament. He was the head coach then, went to USC for a few years, was relatively successful there. But When SMU fired their head coach, I think it was a situation at USC where he was maybe wearing out his welcome a little bit, so he took a new job, new fresh start. And as I mentioned, that started the chain reaction. The Musselman goes to USC from Arkansas. That ends up with Calipari at Arkansas. Nearly, you know, for a minute there, you thought maybe Chris Jans was going to be at Arkansas. So Enfield's a good coach. He runs a very exciting style. As I said, they're averaging 91 points per game on the season. So I like the idea of State going into a game thinking offense first. You know, in their first few games, I think against Utah they were thinking defense first because, I mean, Utah, when you look at the way that roster is constructed, you can see why scoring a ton of points on them would be very difficult at times. And State was benefited from the free throw line, the fact that they got to the foul line and they shot well from the foul line. They were 76% off the line this past weekend. If they can do that, they're gonna be in great shape. This is a different matchup. You know, SMU wants to get the ball up and down the court. They want to play at a fast pace. They want to play with a lot of tempo. So for Mississippi State, you know, can they match that? State's averaging 89 a game. It's not like State is, you know, going to have to really jump off their season average. And I would say that State's, you know, level of competition has been equal to, if not better. Utah is probably a better team than they play. Butler and Utah, I don't know. I don't know the comparisons there, but kind of similar. So you know, Friday night, if you're not at a high school football game, this is definitely something you want to tune into. You know, at Mississippi State, if they can win, this is a true road game too against a team that should be good enough to make it a quad one win. You know, was it quad one? Is top 75 on the road? I think that's the case. So that's I haven't looked at one of my favorite pages. I used to have it. I normally bookmark it. At this time of year, I haven't done it yet, but the NCAA net rankings page, obviously they're not out just yet. But for Mississippi State, is it top 75 is the, where's the list? How the net rankings work. Top 75 gets you on the road is a quad one win. So it's 1 through 25 at home, 1 through 50 on the road, and 1 through 50 in a neutral site. 1 through 75 on the road. Will Utah be a net 50 team? It could be. Utah will benefit from playing in the Big 12 where there's so many good basketball. That's just a killer conference in basketball from top to bottom. So this game Friday night is very interesting to me, though. I'm looking forward to it because I think it's going to be I think for the unbiased, the neutral observer, it's going to be an outstanding game. I think you're going to have two good teams, two outstanding guards going head-to-head with one another. Should be a lot of fun. Should be a lot of fun to watch. Could be a lot of points on the board in this one. All right. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up. We got to talk a little football, don't we? Mississippi State continues in the NCAA tournament for women's soccer. Big matchups this weekend on campus. Chance to do that. Plus, a friend of the show, a friend of ours, got some outstanding news this weekend. One of the most beloved MSU athletes of all time. Got some big news this week, and we'll talk about that. We heard him earlier on Sports Talk Mississippi today. Hopefully you had the chance to listen to it. If not, you can check out the podcast. You should check out this podcast. You should check out the Sports Talk Mississippi podcast. If you're an Ole Miss fan and you're watching, and I know y'all are, check out the Rebel Report. It's all right there. And we'll talk about it all when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
You know that nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money? And a lot of businesses are losing opportunities to get new customers if they aren't online. With the power of STMM Digital, you can reach potential customers and get more referrals and repeat business. The highly trained and trusted team at STMM Digital is ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
Be sure and check
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Let's wrap things up here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino is, we are checking our corners here. We're about the back end of the parking spot. We're going to call it a day here on Thunder and Lightning. Appreciate you guys tuning in on a Wednesday evening. A lot going on here. I know the coaches show is happening. I know Mississippi State women's basketball is happening. So if you're still here with me, great. If you're not, you know the podcast. If you're doing the podcast thing, appreciate you there as well. Please subscribe to Thunder and Lightning on whatever podcast subscription platform that you use. Or you can always just check us out at supertalk.fm or on YouTube. Check us out anytime you want on YouTube. You can watch this show. You can watch Thunder and Lightning with me and Robbie Falk. We have all our content up there as well. Plus on YouTube, if you're subscribed to the Super Talk YouTube channel, you know that Thunder and Lightning postgame will be happening this Saturday after the Missouri game. We'll talk Mississippi State, Missouri, right from the Davis-Wade Stadium press box. Had some people asking about basketball on that. I may have something happening there. We'll see. We'll see about basketball. I'd like to do it, but we gotta get that thing sold. So we'll look into that as we go forward. All right. Want to remind you guys, if you didn't know already, that Mississippi State in soccer, women's soccer, football, whatever you want to call it, is still in the NCAA tournament. Big 7-0 win over the over Southern University, the Jaguars, last week. This week, taking on the Washington Huskies. It's the Will Rogers Bowl here in Starkville this week. As State continues its march towards the first ever national championship in program history, the one seed there in this regional. I think games this weekend, and then I don't think it's one game a weekend. I need to be sure about that. That seems weird to do it, to do it like that, but whatever. Washington knocked off the number 8 seed Utah State last weekend. So we'll see what happens. I guess they're a Big Ten school now. That's so weird to think about. Even though I've gotten through the whole year like this, it's just odd to think about Mississippi State, or not Mississippi State, but like Washington and the Big Ten and things. It doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for me. So. But we've talked to Coach Armstrong before. We had the interview with Marion Crowder last week on the podcast feed. So we've talked a lot of soccer. We will continue to do so. Looking forward to seeing those ladies out there. It's a fun story. It's a fun story to see, because it's really out of nowhere. Sort of the same way volleyball was a couple years ago. Softball's a team that's year in, year out. They are always in the hunt in the NCAA tournament. They're always competing for postseason play. Soccer has just sort of come off the radar these last couple years to do that. So fun story to keep up with. Speaking of fun stories, to see Jake Mangum get the call up yesterday. Now look. As we talked about on Sports Talk Mississippi earlier with Jake, he's on the 40-man roster, not the 26-man roster, but I feel like that's a bit of a formality. The guy was the leading hitter in AAA, in the AAA league he was in this past year. I think he'll be on the opening day roster for the Rays. My biases are creeping in here, because not only is Jake Mangum a great Bulldog, but he's a good guy. I've gotten to know him now that he's away from the team. I always hesitate to say that people are my friends, because I don't know how people feel about me, but I would like to think Jake Mangum is my friend. Just a good guy. Comes from a good family. His mom's a lovely woman. His dad's a great guy. And nobody bleeds maroon and white more than Jake Mangum does. He is the quintessential. That was the word. I was like, I don't know why centrifugal was in my brain. It's like that's a force. That's not an adjective. He's the quintessential Bulldog, and his accomplishments in the SEC likely never to be broken. I would be surprised if anybody challenges him as the SEC's all-time hit leader anytime soon. So we'll see if that happens. So congrats to him, though. I knew that was a moment he had been waiting on for quite some time and had been looking forward to it. And so to finally get there to that point is awesome. It's awesome for him. And just another name, another number out there on the wall at Duty Noble, and another name on the in the list of all the Bulldog baseball. Bulldog baseball, Eric Sarantola made the 40-man roster. That's a guy. What did we say when that guy was at State? It's like he's going to figure it out eventually. It looks like he's finally had. Brent Rooker coming off his best season. He was a Silver Slugger this year. Has become one of the best power hitters in baseball. So much going on there. And if you're looking forward to Diamond Dog Baseball, last week I talked to Coach Lemonis on the podcast. If you missed that interview, go back and check it out. He really likes his squad. And, I don't, I've been saying it for the past few weeks. So I'm gonna let some baseball play before I get too deep into making a prediction because of how badly I was off a season ago. But yeah, he really likes his team. A lot of new faces out there at Diddy Noble Field this year, though. So good for Jake, though. Congrats to him, buddy. And looking forward to seeing his career continue on. I think he has a real chance. I think he'll when opening day rolls around in Tampa, he will be on that roster. All right, Sports Talk Mississippi tomorrow will be live in Oxford at M-Trade Park for their Winter Wonderland up there. They'll have the skating rink set up and all that. No, I'm not getting on ice skates. I'm still not doing it. So don't look forward to that. But I'm looking forward to being in Oxford and talking with those great folks up there from Visit Oxford. Week before the Egg Bowl. So, you know, I'm not even getting my mind right remote yet. So I can do that. All right, guys. For Rhino, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for tuning in to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. When we see you next time, it'll be Egg Bowl.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.